thank you very much. Today is going to be equally amazing, and we're starting off with, you know, a big bang, because we've got Simon Parks, and he is, many people will know, I've interviewed him several times. He's a really interesting guy, a former British councillor, as you call them, having held a political office for a number of years and having quite a career in that area. Things were looking very good for him until he started talking about his what he believes to be his ET heritage, in essence. So, and I guess they've taken a dive since then in terms of, or at least he voluntarily, I'm not sure, he would have to tell you all the machinations that went on, but somehow he slowly withdrew from the political scene and devoted himself really to this sort of subject and to awakening people, etc. So now he is in full swing in that world, or this world, so to speak. So we're very lucky to have him, and I want to welcome Simon Parks.
Okay, so first of all, thank you ever so much for welcoming me. Yes, just Kerry mentioned about the political side of it. I was a Labour councillor in the London Borough of Hackney. I served two terms of office. The leader of the council knew about my experiences but asked me not to speak about them. I was on track for quite a reasonable political career. I was chair of the Housing Services Committee. I was chair of the Direct Labour Service Committee. What actually happened was that I decided to move to Whitby, North Yorkshire, and I thought, well, I've worn the T-shirt, I'm not going to do this anymore. But the Labour Party came back to me, wanted more, so I got back in, and this time at local level, town council level, and I did that for a term of office. But what I found was that the deeper I got into politics, regardless of what political party it is, the harder it is to maintain your independence under the system. It doesn't matter what political party. If you have a principle and you have a view, you find that a compromise is everything. But there comes a point where you have to decide, and I had to decide, where my true allegiance lay. Which means that under the current system that we have, democracy is a name which we understand, but that's not really what we've got, ladies and gentlemen. But under the democratic system, it is very difficult to maintain a honesty and a truth, either to this country or to the people of the country, because there is a third force that exists that wishes to subvert both. And you, if you wish to obtain high office under the current system, you can't actually be truthful to both of those. You'd have to give them up to do that. If I said to you that at least half of the current politicians are corrupt, that would be truthful. That would be truthful. Many of them are blackmailed. Many of them are frightened. Many of them are good men and women, but they are just fearful. So nobody asked me to resign. I just decided that I had to make a decision where my true allegiance lay. So I left a promising career. For those of you who've seen me before, you know that I give presents out. I'm not doing it this time simply because there have been so many difficult and upsetting things that have occurred that it's not really appropriate. Out of deference to certain situations that have occurred, I'm not going to go into huge detail. However, I do have to cover some elements of what's happened. But we're going to do it in a very sensitive way. Right. I've entitled today's talk, Endgame. This is the second conference. I was at Birmingham yesterday, and I did the exact same conference at Birmingham. It was a much smaller conference. It was more of a New Age esoteric group, and I was just happy to support both ends of our industry. So you've got Kerry here, who does the cutting edge, interviews people who are going to say things that are challenging, things that many unawake people perhaps need to hear but find very difficult. And then what I did yesterday was with a much more softer group, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but I think it's important that speakers don't just stay with the same genre. I think it's important to meet out and mix with people of different groups, otherwise we're going to become very tunnel-visioned. So this is called Endgame because we're in the endgame now. I don't know, for the last 20 years people have been saying it's nearly there, we're in the end game. But we really are. There are some important changes occurring, and those people who hold any position in authority, whether that's through the establishment or not, will be aware of a change. And those of us who are psychic or those of us who are spiritual will also know there's a great change, and we're just at the tipping point now. The question is whether it's an easy transition or not, and a lot of the problems we're having at the moment are because we have a... Well, that's interesting. Have the Samsung television, and there are 128 pages online of instruction manual, and on page 124, and those of you who know me know that I don't make things up, and on page 124 of this online manual, it says, be aware that this device will record your conversations if you're within 12 feet of it. If you don't wish this, then don't talk within 12 feet. It says that. If you're not happy with this, return it to your retailer. That's what it says, and they buried it on page 124 of my particular version. So who is going to take their television back? And there are a number of models of Samsung phones that do the same. And in fact, it made it, I think, to headlines. It was interesting that President Trump authorised the release of that information something like 2 months ago. So that actually made it onto the British newspapers, I think it might have been the Daily Express, front page, because Trump had authorised that the public were aware that Samsung were recording information. Now, what happens is that basically you go to a store, you see, I don't know, a new kitchen, you talk about it with somebody, you go back and then you go on Facebook and, oh, look, there's the advert for that kitchen for the same store. Because if you have your cell phone or your mobile phone with you, they know exactly which store you've been in because they say they can detect you within so many meters. That's not actually true. It can detect you within 30 centimeters, within 1 foot. But they don't tell you just how close it is. But if that was it, we wouldn't like it, but we would understand that we're in a capitalist system. However, that information is also being sold onto security services. I recently wrote to Sky and said, I don't want the contract anymore, I don't watch television, I really don't want this. Since then, that was a year ago, I have had 7 letters from British Telecom saying, would you like to join our alternative system? Which means that Sky sold the fact that I had written and cancelled to BT. Now, that's what these organisations do. They sell our information for money. And we're going to be talking about money a little bit. So this is an end game, and it's a positive end game. We're not staring down the barrel of a gun. I do have to talk about this. Can anybody tell me what Grenfell Tower shares with the Twin Towers? Sorry, shout out.
Inside job.
That's really good. We're going to be very careful what we say today. I'm just going to stick to facts.
Planning.
Yeah, that's right. It's not the answer I want. Come on.
Death.
Yes.
Is that premeditated to look like another?
It's a tower.
Yeah. Actually, that's closer than you think. Right, I'm going to tell you that just before 9/11, the Twin Towers were reinsured. Do you know that Grenfell Tower was reinsured just before? Grenfell Tower was reinsured exactly in the same fashion, except a little bit longer, with a Norwegian company. And the Norwegian company also, interestingly enough, it was written in to compensate for deaths, not just the building. So there will be a payout of just under £1 billion. Now that's something that's factual, and that's what I want to get into here. I'm going to just do something here, and we're just going to come back to it. I know my writing's not good, but you can make out I've just written the name of the tower. I'm going to come back to that. What does it not share with the Twin Towers?
mouth collapse?
It didn't collapse.
That's the right answer. Didn't fall down. And for those of you who watched, there were a couple of commentators who said, we're really worried because the tower might fall down. And then there was a commentator who said, just spoken to a fireman and he's told me it won't fall down because it's made of concrete. Right, so that's just hold that name up there for a minute, will you? We'll come back to that.
It would have been too obvious straight away.
It would have been too obvious. We have to be very careful what we say because lots of people have lost their lives and it's a very difficult situation. So we're going to be very, very careful today. This is the fire. Unlike any ordinary fire, you can see immediately that it's external. You know, I mean, the day after this tragedy, I gone onto my website and got Andy Bale, who runs my website, to say that we need manslaughter charges. The first person to actually call, there was no newspapers calling for this, they were all terrified of it. I said we need corporate manslaughter charges, and if you go on my website, you'll see that. Because I knew that there was something very, very wrong here, and that's exactly what's happening now. It's taken them a long time, but that's happening. And when you look at the pattern of the fire, it's not in a line. It's going up. Those of you who've ever lit the blue touch paper on a firework, you notice that it smoulders. It doesn't actually burn in a line. It sort of goes in a wobbly line, a wavy line. Just bear that one in mind. Here are a set of pictures. We all know them. We're not glorifying this at all. We're just looking at the way that the fire moves across on the outside of the building. It's very clearly an external fire which is causing an internal fire. The tower was constructed in 1974. Can anybody else tell me what was created in 1974? See, if I had presents today, you'd get them. Look at the fire on the outside of that. Look very carefully at the external flames. When you've had a good look at that, look at the V shape. Now I'm going to go to this one. Okay, it's in reverse, but let's just knit back again. Look at that. Now look at this. I don't believe in coincidences, but that's all we're going to say on this, because of deference for people who have suffered. All right, okay, well, we'll come back. That name's still staying up there. I and many other commentators have talked to as many people as would listen to us, how Hollywood and not so Hollywood use their medium, whether that's film or theatre, poetry, to try to either warn people of what's coming or to get approval for what's coming. And we need to understand the difference between obtaining approval and trying to warn you. And that really depends on the director, he or she, and which organisations they are linked in with. We talked about Gene Roddenberry, who made Star Trek, and how his first experience was on a domestic flight in the States, and how he saw an alien spacecraft out of the window from his air seat, and then he went back and joined a group of channelers and received channeled information, and that's why he created Star Trek, because he was creating it on the information he was receiving. And a number of film directors now are going out into our community and trying to pick the brains of people quite legitimately for ideas, and that's a brilliant way to get information across. The two Polish brothers who did The Matrix, they didn't just make that up, they received that information. So much of that was accurate, and that's one of the most accurate films that have been out for a very long time. And then you take the other end of it, which is Arnold Schwarzenegger's films, which were about trying to get approval. So we're going to tell you what the timeline is that we're manipulating, and we need your approval. And the approval means that you don't say anything. So in the laws that they operate, if you keep quiet, that's approval. And there have been a number of commentators, and Mr. Shrimpton was one of them, who try to warn people and sometimes pay a heavy price for it. But if you warn, then that can stop that happening. And that's not widely understood. The difficulty is that if you cry, I can't say the name of the animal because unfortunately the name of the animal is a trigger word. We can't use that animal name, but there's a very common saying that if you cry, name of the animal, a number of times, then what happens is that people stop believing you. So personally, I have to be very careful to choose something that I can warn people about that's so important that even when they say to me, well, it didn't happen, and it seems a cop-out to say to them, well, actually, it didn't happen because we spoke about it. And people can't get that, and they think, well, you know, it didn't come true. So it is very difficult. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the things. We're very familiar with this one. We all know it. Now, what that tells us straight away is that whoever is behind the Simpsons is receiving information. Now, are they trying to warn us, or are they trying to get approval? Perhaps the jury's out on that. But we'll start with what we know. The two pictures are going to enlarge one of them on the right-hand side are not so well known. There's an enlargement. Now, that's not so well known. And that was in 1997. So there we've actually got, behind the couple, a painting of a burning tower. So I'm not so sure this is warning people. I think it's more about, I want your approval, because it's been very direct. So that one we're not so familiar with. Has anybody seen the cartoon Bart to the Future? A few people. So it's a parody of... It's a parody on Back to the Future, obviously. The year 2000. So, in the year 2000, the creators... I know, I'm sorry I'm standing here, but I'm worried about sending the microphone mad. In the year 2000, somebody predicted Trump would be president. Now, the guy who directed it was actually interviewed on this subject, and it came out with a crass answer, which was, oh, well, I just picked on the person who was the most unlikely. No, there are far more unlikely people. So that means that 17 years before the occurrence, the timeline had already been looked at. Now, it doesn't mean the elite managed the timeline to make President Trump get the position. What it means is that they foresaw this and were not able to change it, all right? Because they were all behind Hillary Clinton. All of that type of elite were behind Hillary Clinton. But one arm, anyway, of the elite foresaw 17 years ago that Trump would become president. But they shared it with the makers of The Simpsons. So that means that we need to look at The Simpsons very carefully, because the information we're going to gain from them is actually vital. I didn't put the red arrow in. I think we all know who's who. Many of these drawings or cartoons were done after the event. Okay, so this one you're looking at here was not done prior. The reason I'm showing it is because whoever's in charge of The Simpsons is taking a great interest in Trump. And this one was done after the event. There's a lot of talk on YouTube, but this was done after the event. But the reason that they're doing it is because they've got a very important message, and it's coming up here. I just want to let you know that on the journey, not this morning, but yesterday, there are Saturday drivers. We always get odd things, but we had three things occur. Two which were manageable, and the third one nearly hit. And I will talk about it. At the roundabout, car on the left-hand side, indicating left to turn left, decided then to suddenly swing right, still indicating left, and if I hadn't have done a very harsh brake, would have been straight into the side of me, as was a few years ago. I do not believe that was a coincidence, and that was after I'd done the talk in Birmingham. And I think it's to do with Grenfell Tower, because very few commentators... live like this are talking about it. Most people are doing it on YouTube and then, you know, doing it that way. So that was interesting. But I want to talk about The Simpsons simply because the image that I want to show you is one that's not widely known. And it caused me to write to President Trump a couple of weeks back. And I put on the website that I'd let him know. The murder of President Trump is predicted to occur in October of this year. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but there will be an attempt to assassinate President Trump in October. The drawing here doesn't tell us October. I know it's October, but there you go. You've got a drawing there. The seven roses through the window are very important. I don't understand what they mean yet. So we've got, from The Simpsons, a issue there. Well, at the end, if you don't mind, yeah. I wanted also to just put this one on. This was in 2009, and they predicted, this is the guys at The Simpsons, predicted that there would be a Star Wars film released at the same time as a Chipmunks film. Now, what's incredible is that they got the exact date right, December the 18th. So in 2009, they knew that these two films would be released on December the 18th, 2015. Now, the accuracy here is beyond any supercomputer. The only way you can obtain accuracy like this is with humans connected to advanced machines. There is no computer either on the planet or off the planet that can model the future like a human. That's what makes humans incredibly special. If you have that ability and you are hooked up to a very advanced machine, it's not 100%, but you can divine the future quite well. So we know what we're looking at here is something of a very advanced nature. This guy, of course, he was destined to be president. My mother, of course, for those of you who remember, who was murdered, and I quite understand why MI5 murdered her. I don't obviously approve, but I understand why they did it. They were left with no choice. But she was done away with in 1979. 3 years prior to that, she was already talking quite openly that this guy was the guy who would become president. He was earmarked for president. Now, he didn't make it. He became the second most powerful man, didn't he? He became the governor of California. Remember that California is a country almost in its right with its gross domestic product. The most important democratic man is the president. It's not then the vice president, unless the president is removed from office. It is the governor of California. So whilst he didn't become president, he became very close. And there are a number of photographs with him with one of the original Bushes. So here we got about future planning and organising, looking at timelines. Remember that Ronald Reagan was in films, he was a cowboy. Remember that Clint Eastwood, who became a governor, was a cowboy. It's not that cowboys become presidents or governors, it's because it's the American psyche of the gun and the hat and the Wild West. If you can ingrain an image with human consciousness, you can then work with that. And it's all about manipulating human consciousness. You know, those of us who are spiritual, and that's everyone in this room, will look at adverts on television and you think, why in goodness name are they spending so much money on packets of crisps or chocolate bars? The point is that people who are not awake and aware take on that image consciously and they share it. Remember, I've talked about a long time ago when humanity was becoming uncontrollable on this planet in terms of the numbers it was producing. And I don't mean that in a negative way. And the energetic life form, which we would today call a jinn, also existed on the planet. And the human consciousness basically forced the jinn out of the third dimension, wasn't strong enough to push it into the fourth, but stuck it into the interdimensional space that exists between the third and the fourth dimension. So human consciousness can actually have an incredible power. Now the CIA, and to a lesser extent the NSA, understand that, and they will use their agents within our industry or on the internet, on YouTube, to drop in words, key words, and they will then look to see where those key words re-emerge, and they will then use software to backtrack to see how that concept or idea, which they implanted at point A, made it in the American to point Z, British point Z, how it transferred across. Who are the individuals who had the ability to influence others? Now, marketing managers have understood that for a long time. You know, we'll use the word McDonald's, give free parties to children, not because they like children, but because those children are the customers of the future. So in the same way, the intelligence services, for good or ill, that's not the debate here, it's just what they do, they will implant ideas to see how they're transferred across. So the fact that this guy was earmarked to be president probably before he was born is something that awake and aware people couldn't get their head around. There we go, that's really interesting. You've got President Schwarzenegger and you've got Trump waving through the window behind. I really like that.
I like it because it was nearly true and it was expected to happen. Now the big question is, why didn't it happen? And the reason it didn't happen was because he wasn't as manipulable as they thought. He wasn't quite as controllable as they thought. You don't put someone into high democratic office if they're going to be a John F. Kennedy, because you end up having to kill them, don't you? Can't have someone with a mind. Where's this picture from?
Back to the Future.
And what does it show? And does anybody not? Is anybody not familiar with this picture? Right, okay, well, that's fine. I mean, you know, if you're all familiar with it, I'll go home. Nine? 11? Okay, right, well, this is what the tower didn't do. It didn't fell. Look at it. Grand fell. It didn't fell. It didn't fall. It gets worse. Take the L's. There's nobody who's seen this except one person at the conference yesterday. I've been very, very careful what I do because of the reasons I've given. One person came up after the conference. It doesn't mean others didn't spot it, but he came up to me and he said, "I got it. I understand what you're saying." And I said, "Yeah, because I'm trying to be very, very careful with this." So if you look at the L's and we make the two lines with the L's, and it didn't fell, it didn't fall, and then we just look at this, 9-11. I knew, that's why I called for corporate manslaughter the day after this, because I knew something wasn't right. I'm not going to speculate any more on this. But you are now all aware. Let's get on to something else. Teleportation. Anybody got a Star Trek T-shirt on? Well, there was somebody yesterday at the conference, and I said, "Why on earth didn't you come up?" He said, "Because I'm a bit shy." When we think of teleportation, this is what we think of. It doesn't really work. It sort of works. You need a top and a bottom. But that's not the concept that we have for teleportation. No presence, but can you just tell me the names of the two towers that we associate with the Masonic? Thank you. These are the two towers. Interesting, isn't it? It's the Twin Towers. Very few people have even put that concept together. But I want you to look at the orbs on the top of them. One represents the sun, one represents the moon, and sometimes you can have a third tower behind you which represents the stars. But generally we talk about the sun and the moon, the light and the dark, the yin and the yang, positive and negative. And the checkerboard floor underneath, of course, very appropriate. Can you remember what this was about?
Yep.
That's cheating, Peter. Anybody else? What was this one about? Right, Peter.
Well, this is Trump's influence on the Middle East.
Thank you. Yes, this is to do with terrorism and trying to get a number of leaders from the oil-rich nations to support them. I want you to look at the obelisk in the centre. It's really interesting. What's that about?
Is anybody there?
All right, well, it is the Earth, and they're all basically dividing up the Earth. This is my part, this is your part. We have our hands on the Earth. Let's look at that. That's, yeah. I love it, actually. I really do. And even it's considered that one of the towers could contain the Earth, and one is the stars, the zodiac. So we have a very strong Freemasonry symbol here. But most people won't understand what's going on.
Whoa.
I like that.
Where's that?
Yeah. I love it. This is a university. Their concept of a teleportation device that they could make, theoretically. What's interesting is it's a tube with a sphere on top. Off this planet, but also on this planet in ancient technologies, we talk about Atlantis and Lemuria, there are devices which, not stargates, but this sort of work in the same way, and I haven't got a hands-free mic, and maybe we'll have to invest in hands-free mic here, but basically you put one hand over one of those devices, this hand over there, and you then disappear and appear somewhere else. That is the standard form of teleportation. Now, when you teleport, you can't take anything metal with you. Okay? You can't take anything metal. Everything must be made of plastic. And if you think back to the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator films, do you remember that it had to go in naked? Can you remember that? You couldn't take a gun with you. You couldn't take any metal. And the joke with Schwarzenegger was always beating up people to find clothes, and they always fitted. I like that. But this is based on truth. And therefore, there are what we call super soldiers, but there are a different sort of super soldiers, have different names, but something like special super soldiers, who are still very human, but aren't trained in the same way that you understand super soldiers to be trained. And they're trained by off-planet entities. And when entering through a vortex, there's no air, you see. There's a vacuum in these things, and you can't breathe. So you have a helmet like a motorcycle helmet, and then you have a plastic tube. There's no oxygen bottle. You just have a plastic tube that comes down your throat, and these people have to learn not to try to be sick. So it's a plan of being there. The tube goes down your throat to about here, and there's enough oxygen contained just in that tube to allow you to pass through the portal out the other end.
I remember meeting one of these guys. We'll just go off topic a bit, but we might as well. I remember meeting one of these guys who, his job was literally to be taken from the third to the fourth dimension, and then he was one of these special super soldiers. And there is a connection between SS, special super soldiers. And you yourselves know when you meet somebody, you know whether they're genuine or whether they're just making it up because they want limelight. So I said to him, I've seen the weapons that these guys use, and I was testing them out. I have to do this because people will come to me and they'll say this, that and the other. I said, I've seen the weapons, and I said, I don't know where the trigger is. Now on this planet, your trigger of your weapons are here. And he said, oh no, they don't have a trigger. You just squeeze the stock, which is absolutely accurate. And the other thing I asked him, I said, on these weapons and this planet, there's a sight, which is always mounted on the top. But I said, this doesn't seem to be a sight. And he said, oh no, he said, that's the power pack. It's a traffic light system, which is quite right, which is green full power. This is a laser type weapon. Green full power, amber, you're running low, and then red, you're out of power. It'll probably give you 6 shots or so left. So he was absolutely genuine, and he was one of these guys that's taken, put into combat, and killed, and then reanimated. Now, did anybody remember seeing an original Doctor Who episode called The Robots, or something like the one with the robots? Did anybody see that? When a robot was terminated, it had a disc placed on it. It was a little red disc. And these characters, when they get killed on the battlefield, a disc is placed on them, but they're taken back and brought back to life. But their physical bodies are terribly deteriorated, so they look absolutely worn out and smashed because they've been killed several times. But this is the device that allows them to travel from one location to another. So when people talk about jump rooms and jump chairs, I don't have any experience of jump rooms or jump chairs, but I do have experience of the portal technology, which was in use in Atlantean times. This is ancient technology, and a lot of this ancient technology is far more advanced than some of the off-world technology now. It's quite appropriate for the British government, what's left of it, to make an agreement with the Northern Ireland political groups. And this is such a group, and you will notice the two towers either side. That is one of the major reasons that there's been such a huge difficulty to understand and deal with the issues in Northern Ireland, because one of the key groups can trace its history through the Orange Order and has a very strong connection to Freemasonry and to the highest elite. That's why no government has ever attempted to give Northern Ireland over to the Southern government. And so what they're just going to do is wait for a demographic change over the next 50 years for the Catholic population to outnumber the Protestant population, and then through what they would call free and fair elections, then it would just go across. But this is your absolute reason why it's an intransigent political situation under the present terms. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm just explaining to you why such a situation has gone on since 1968 when it became very obviously problems. Who's seen this film? Not enough of you. It's going to be a box office flop. And it shouldn't be, because the information here is quite unique, and I enjoyed the film. The latest King Arthur-type film, and this is a screenshot from the film. What does that represent?
9/11.
Well, actually, you're right, but it does represent something else, because you've got the snake making the nine, yeah, and you've got the tower making the tower. Okay? So for those of you who've not seen the film, there you go. But there's another thing there which is linked in with that. Yes, fantastic. Well done. The eagle and the snake, LL and Key, the two. So they've been interspersed with the 9/11 symbol to show you that the earth is being fought over. So Mexican coins carry the eagle and the snake. And in history, we always see the eagle and the snake. Here's a stone carving. I have no idea how old that is. Those of you who went to school like I did, can remember your early history lessons where we are shown drawings of Roman soldiers from the ancient Roman Empire carrying the standard Senatus Populus Quo Romanus SPQR, Senate and people of Rome, and the eagle above it. What we were not taught was that in about 300 AD, the Romans en masse got rid of the eagle and replaced it with the dragon. Now, how many of you were taught that? Because they wanted to push that one person. We wanted to push it. That's why the eagle appears on American coins. That's why it's part of this symbology. and the symbol, the eagle, has landed. That's why it was called that. So we're seeing the naming of a whole culture after a particular god. So we've got the snake, which is the god that was vilified, who was the bastard son, and I'm using that in the technical term, in the sense that he wasn't from the bloodline family. In order to be anything in ancient Egypt, Babylon, Sumeria, or the Anunnaki lines, you have to have a child either with your sister or your half-sister for that child to become the next king. Anything else doesn't count. Now, with Enlil and Key, that's exactly what happened in one case, but not in the other. And the firstborn child thought that he should be the new leader, but because he wasn't born from the half-sister, he then was relegated. And one, he became the snake, the vilified in the Adam and Eve story, and the other one, who technically wasn't the firstborn, but was through the bloodline family line, he could then become the eagle. Yes, Saudi. This is one for Peter. We don't really get it here, but in terms of the notion of the crown, just forget the queen or the king at the moment, but the crown. Think about all the terms, the crown estates. Think about all the times we use the word the crown, and it's a very important magical political system. This is Her Majesty opening Parliament, and you'll notice that she's not wearing the crown. The crown is coming before her. When else, and you're not allowed to answer, Peter, when else did the Queen not wear a crown when opening Parliament?
When we entered the EU?
No. Opening of Parliament, when else did she not wear a crown? Someone's saying the date over there, roughly.
43 years ago.
There it is. 1974. I'm very lucky to obtain this picture, actually. There she is, Black Rod, well, one of the walkers, and she's going into open Parliament, no crown. Now, those of you who have a good memory will know that two general elections in October, and none of them produced a government. So what the Queen does is she does not wear her crown if there's no governing. You may have a party with the largest number of seats, but has to go and ask somebody else to join them. Now, in a circumstance like that, she will not wear a crown. That's why here she has no crown. But the crown is coming before her. Now, that's really important. The crown's not behind her. The crown's in front of her. So it's the crown that has the symbology here, not the wearer. Now, when the queen or the king put the crown on the head, they join the two together and make the system. So here the system is not complete because the government isn't complete. And that's very interesting. Right, those of you who remember, I always get lots and lots of queries about the Hadron Collider. Lots of people really worried about it. And I keep saying to people, please don't be worried about it. It can do nothing. It can do absolutely nothing. And I've said this countless times, and so many people who perhaps don't listen to me as much as I would like them to listen to me, just still run off on one. It's going to be the end of the world, this, that and the other. No, it's not. Connecting Consciousness did a large group meditation. I'm going to be very careful what I say now. Did a very large group consultation, and the Hadron Collider failed to operate, for those of you who don't know, at the key point that it was supposed to. This is an official screenshot. For those of you who have not seen this, I did do a presentation 3 years ago on this. This is an official screenshot from their computers at the facility. The word false, just read that as failure. They don't like to put no or not working. False means it's not working. So we have a load of red lines down the side. I'm going to give you a graph which is going to be more helpful here. Looking at the left-hand side, it's ramped up with power. And then this is Swiss time at the bottom. It drops right down, fails, from 4 in the morning till 8. Then they hit the power, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Up it comes again, taken out again, comes down, reboots up. Now the Earth has a natural biorhythmic wave. And, you know, you could be a surfer and you could ride the waves. So one of the key points about this was to use, a bit like using gravity around a planet for an old-fashioned rocket, to use it as a slingshot. So what the collider was to do was to use the energy of the Earth, and then at the moment of the highest upswing, zoom up and try to open into the fourth dimension. I can't remember exactly, but I think the collider uses the equivalent of either 6 or 12% of the entire electrical output of France. So its main grid feed is from the French electrical system. There is a backup system in Switzerland, but the backup system only provides 25% of the power that the collider needs. And I will tell you, and I did say at the time, that the collider was and is protected by psychic defense. This is not electronic defense, although that's there, but black magicians psychically protecting the environment, not the internal part of the machine, but the external geographical barrier.
Can I comment on one thing? The second spike went much
higher.
That's the cut-off
point. Cut-off point for the numbers.
Yeah.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing that they would show in the numbers going up. So I'd made it very public that Connecting Consciousness was going to do a group meditation, because I had been told that whilst the machine itself is not negative and the scientists on the machine are not negative, those who organize it, we're going to use this to open a portal into the fourth dimension, to both bring in reinforcements and to let certain things on the planet go who did not want to face prosecution at a later date. And there's a judgment call here, because is it better to let these things go, or is it better to keep them here? I probably would have gone down the road of letting them go, but the difficulty was that it was also a two-way option. They wanted to bring reinforcements in, and that could not allow. So they got wind of this group meditation, and instead of going live at 12 noon or 1 p.m., they decided to go early in the morning. very early in the morning. That sort of was found out, and there was an electrical storm. There were a number of storms over Europe that time, and the main generator, the power CERN, was struck by lightning and taken out. That's the first collapse here. The second movement is the hookup to the reserve power. There's also, and we can talk quite openly about it, there's also a button that exists in one of the control rooms, which basically says, in emergency, brake. I know that sounds really crazy, but it's like a fire alarm. And that's not a self-destruct button, but it turns everything off. And there was an important confluence of planets on that day, and the Hadron Collider did not operate. Now that's, you can research that, and you'll see that's the case. And you can research the time that we did the group meditation, and you'll see that within 2 minutes of the group meditation. So if anybody says to me that the power of the human mind is not as effective as a laptop or a computer, they're wrong. The elite and those of us who have the insight know that the human mind is capable of far more than generally people understand. Now, there are lots of talks of bankers being jailed, reptilians leaving the planet, and it's all over. There's no need to struggle anymore. You can all go home now, back to the day jobs. There are some very good intentioned people who believe this and are saying it. However, there are some people who are agents for the other side who would love it for you to go back to the day job and to drop your guard and not worry about things. And I'm seriously concerned at the level of discernment in our industry. Do you honestly believe that we would still be living in the same manner if these people had lost control? Well, wouldn't. What's the difference between now and 20 years ago? The difference is we're freer in many ways. We are pushing forward and we've reached a tipping point. But in terms of what the other side wish, that hasn't changed. So talk of everyone being arrested, talk of everyone leaving the planet is nonsense. I'm telling you this now. It's really important. I know there are certain people in America who are not going to like this. But it's doing a disservice, because that's not the case. If all of these people had gone, we would actually now be forming people's councils. We would be working on Facebook to work up a new constitution. We would be completely changing. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe that we can just tinker on or bolt bits onto the system. I actually believe, and this sounds really awful, you've got to drive a bulldozer through it. And I want to just... I don't want you to think of me as a revolutionary like this. If you have a system that is not designed for the benefit of humanity, how can you build on that? You've got to come right down to the foundations, and you have to involve people in what they want. So it's not just about changing the way that the banks work. It's the way the police work, the way the courts work, the way the hospitals work, the way the education system works, the way the doctors work. All of that is not focused on the needs of the individual. It's focused on the need of the system. So what I'm saying is that we can't just take one element and make that the focus, like of our bankers, of our reptilians. That is actually playing their game, because it's channeling your thoughts or your ideas down a particular road. And it's far more dangerous for them, for people to start saying, let's look really at the grassroots here. There are two people who can't be controlled easily in politics. One is President Trump and one is Jeremy Corbyn. That is why these two people are being hit and hammered by the establishment. Because they cannot be controlled. And I'm not going to make a party-splitting speech, but I will say this. Every time anybody says we need more money for hospitals or more money for the police force, do you know that there are 18,500 less policemen and women than there were 5 years ago? Do you know that the number of armed police officers is 1,300 less than it was 5 years ago? So when they talk about we need more money for the police or the ambulance or anything like that, the immediate response from the media is, well, how are you going to pay for that? But when somebody says we need an extra $500 million for Trident nuclear missiles, the establishment doesn't say, how are you going to pay for it? But why, God's name, can ordinary, decent, caring people who are not here today, why don't they see this? Why are they accepting it? It's because they've given up, in many ways, the right to make a decision. They've given up, you know, I'm just on my own, I'm just an individual, what can I do about it? It's the big system. You know, and they're not realising who they are. And I've just demonstrated to the world, although the world wasn't really interested, that a group of well-meaning people using meditation could have an influence on a huge machine. You know, if 10,000 people sat outside a supermarket and said, we want you to give pensioners 50% discount on Thursday between 2 o'clock in the afternoon and 6 o'clock in the evening, they would be laughed at. But when they came back the next day and sat outside, and the next day and sat outside, and nobody could go into the supermarket and buy anything, that supermarket would do that. But if you pick up a brick or a bottle or a petrol bomb, then the system knows how to handle that, because it'll put the military on the streets. So I'm not advocating violence, but I am advocating resistance. All right. No presents, but which culture?
Sumeria.
Yes, correct. There's another country. Fantastic, 2-1. See, I would have run out of presents. I'm going to talk about this. The money system is very important. Those of you who perhaps had a chance just to listen to a few bits and pieces I've been talking about, I'm working with a very, very gifted man called Win Keach to try and provide an app for a cell phone, a mobile phone, that allows us to do barter trading and move away from money. For those of you who don't know Win Keach, is a very, very special individual. He is the guy who invented chip and pin. So every time you put your debit or credit card into a machine to pay for it, he was the guy that created the codes that go from that terminal to the bank, and they are unbreakable. When people get hacked, it's not the codes that get hacked. So something's been done to that terminal, okay? Win Keach was originally a crop circle researcher and was banned from the United States. They would refuse to let him into America because of his crop circle research. And that's very interesting, isn't it? Anyway, the National Security Agency from Fort Worth in Maryland turned up, and he lives 5 miles away from me, and again, that's no coincidence. They turned up on his doorstep and said, Mr. Keach, there isn't a code in the world that we can't break, but we can't break yours. So we'd like to fly you to Fort Worth, Maryland, to have a meeting about this. So they flew him to America, and he did a deal that basically he would have free access to the United States on a visa, and in return he would give them the codes. They didn't want to do anything with it, just wanted the codes, because there isn't a medium that they can't break. So, you know, your internet, your cell phone, they could break all of that. There's one... giving secrets away now. There's one... internet Skype type program run from Iceland, and it takes the NSA about 20 minutes to break that one. Everything else they'll read in real time, because the cabling comes through Europe, so they can hack that, but it does take them a delay. So if you ever want to have a chat and you want 20 minutes heads up, use the Icelandic one. Okay, but everything else they'll read in real time. For those of you who haven't picked up that every Christmas I get a hello from GCHQ. I know it's GCHQ and not America, because the English is far better. The Americans have a terrible grasp of English. 2 years ago, on my mobile phone, my cell phone, and it was Christmas morning. It's always Christmas morning now with me. It was about 10:30 in the morning 2 years ago, and a member of the family said they were going to come and visit me. And geographically, they're in the south and I'm in the north, so I said, oh, you're coming up to visit me. So on my phone, on the bit where I would, not where I would receive a message, but where I would send the message, It just came up, this isn't, or that was an ungrammatical sentence. So that just appeared on my phone. So some guy, obviously, presumably married with children, should be home with his family on Christmas morning, sitting there monitoring Simon Park. So I thought, I'm bored, I'm going to go on to this family message. Now, I'm privileged because most people are monitored electronically. But what that shows me is I am monitored by an operator 24/7. Now, that's something. Normally, it's a machine that will monitor and pick up keywords. Now, what happened this Christmas? Wonderful. 6:30 in the morning, Christmas morning, I was asleep. The phone goes, a landline goes. I pick up the phone and it's an electronic voice. You may have had it where you can send a text to somebody and it will read that out. I presume that's what happened. And a set series of figures were given. Now, these weren't trigger numbers. It was the exact amount of money I had in my bank account. Isn't that wonderful? The exact amount of money I had in the bank account, they just, these numbers came out over. So they weren't very long, ladies and gentlemen. And then I had, where I was doing a presentation for a, to be held in a Masonic hall. I've done 3 talks in a Masonic hall, quite happy to do that, don't have a problem. And it was being filmed by the Masons. And I thought, well, I've been invited to the Masons, so I will talk about King Solomon. Of course, because it's very important to them. And I did a presentation, and that's online now, although not all of it, because we did 4 hours, and two hours of it was hacked in the camera. So it was a video camera, and they lost 2 hours. And that's in the Freemasonry Hall, they lost 2 hours. But nevertheless, I'd done my presentation, and I did do a screenshot in one of my other presentations, where I suddenly get a picture on my phone of King Solomon. And it's the text underneath says, I found this. And I thought, oh, and I just assumed that was going to be someone, you know, because you've been working for 4 or 5 hours on presentation. I didn't realise I hadn't discussed it with anybody. So I just wrote back, oh, that's good. And then I got a reply coming back saying, sorry, what are you talking about? I said, oh, I'm just saying that's good, the picture. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know who you are. So what happened is somebody somewhere had just made up a number, sent me this information. So when I just clicked back on it, it was a real number, but was a person who had no connection with me at all. So I often get that. And it's not designed to hurt me, it's just designed for a bit of fun. So I want to talk about Babylonian bucks, the money. We always talk about Babylonian money. And I've got something here which I'm going to pass around. I'd like you to take very great care of it, please. This is not a replica, this is original. It is, well, we'll use the name Jesus here. This is 1,800 years BC, so it's a genuine artifact. Those of you who are familiar with Sumerian tablets, this is a Babylonian tablet. This is exactly what people can decode if they understand it. They are made of stone or clay, and this one's made of stone, and there's a hole in it. And they are stored in a library, so you literally have rods, and you just slide them on the rods. So imagine hundreds and thousands of these, and that's your library. But also they have the hole so that you can put like a wire through it, and then you would rub it over wet clay. When the clay dries, you've got the tablet. So I'm going to pass that around. It's very special because it has the Assyrian and Sumerian and Babylonian symbol of Nibiru, which is the disc and the wings, although my people refer to it as the wings of home. Okay, so that symbol to me is the wings of home, but you will know it's something else. And then it's not come out brilliantly, but here's in wax a imprint of that. You will see 2 gods standing beside the wings of home holding a rope, which means they're controlling this. So I'm going to pass that round. I put it in this thing here. I've also got von Daniken's book, but the big one that is very hard to get hold of, which has got a picture here, so I'm going to pass it around as well. So it's almost identical. That's different. This is about 3000 BC. This is Sumerian. This is Babylonian, which is about 1800. But it just shows that the gods were the same for these peoples. So let's pass that around. Back to you. Okay, why are we doing that? The reason that money's taken hold, and this is the only planet that I'm aware of where money has such a grasp on people. There are forms of trade and credit, but never in such a way as this. It's because there's a spell on it. Now, spells are technology. I don't see spells as magic, I see them as technology, but on this planet we call that magic. This is a third dimensional world. This is fourth dimensional creation. So you take things like Satanism, paedophilia, black magic, it's all fourth dimensional. That does not exist in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth dimension. It just exists in the fourth. And what they did was draw this energy to us, craft things with it. And that's what holds this planet in the control system. And part of the element of this is in the money. In order to break free, we have to find a balance. Now, you know, last year we came within, there's a debate here, between 6 hours, some say 6 hours, the maximum of 12 hours of a complete financial meltdown. Very well hidden from everybody. The Deutsche Bank was somewhere between 6 hours and 12 hours of completely running out of money until a Qatari government came and funded it. Had Deutsche Bank gone, that would have been the end for Europe financially for a period of time, because the ECB, the European Central Bank, would not have had enough money to bail out Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank is not just a big bank, its influence is incredible. So we were between 6 hours and 12 hours, I think it was either September of last year, that close. We're facing something this October. And it's not just me telling you. Since January, we've had three major newspapers, The Telegraph, The Times, and I think The Express, all on their front pages, have tried to warn people by saying that what happened in 1929 with the Wall Street crash is just around the corner. This will be the first economic crash that's not been controlled by the elite. Even Jacob Rothschild has said that we're in uncharted waters. What he means is that if you imagine a train charging down the tracks, there's nobody driving it. That's the situation. Well, the Rothschilds now have officially moved to Switzerland, made their home. The Clintons are in the process of officially moving to Switzerland. Pop stars, media people are moving to New Zealand, but the old guard are moving to Switzerland. You're seeing this move to mountainous regions. It's very interesting. So what we'd like to do, Winkeach and I, is to produce this system that allows people to trade. And I'll give you an example. On a one-to-one basis, those of you who are London-based know the Let's system, and I myself was involved in Let's 25 years ago, but that was a paper system. For instance, let's say that we have a situation where you clean a house for a dentist and he or she pays you, and then you have a tooth problem, and we know what the situation at the moment with dentists are, and they are charging more and more, and it's hard sometimes to get an appointment. So maybe you say to that person, actually, if you do my teeth for me, I will clean your house for the next whatever. This system will actually allow a trade system to take place, but it will do more than that. If you're a small businessman or woman and you have a shop, and you have, I always give this analogy, you have 50 pints of milk, and you've got 4 days left on it. You're either going to try and sell it, or you're going to pour it down the sink, or you whatever. But if you have somebody else, a small business person, you can use the app that we're producing to trade. I will swap you this milk, because you can probably sell it quicker than I can, and I will do this in exchange. The app will actually suggest what the value is, but it's up to those individuals to decide. And if there's a crash economically in this country or in the West, and there's a devaluation, I'm expecting the pound and the dollar to devalue, the money will be converted and won't devalue. Don't tell me it would devalue if you took it out of the system. One of the ways we were going to do this was with crowdsourcing, doing a crowdfunding program, until we learned that there are a number of organisations who employ upwards of 500 people and pay them to anything that they don't like, they will donate to you £10 or £20, and then they will write a horrible response. Now, any organisation that you do crowdsourcing with only pays you at the end of that 6-week period or whatever it is. Now, if you've got 500 people all writing in saying, this is awful, you're a crook, that organisation then does not give you the money, it returns the money back. I was really saddened to learn that there are a number of organisations that do that. If they feel threatened, that's how they do it. So we can't go down the road of crowdsourcing. We can't do that. But we are looking at other methods. So I just want to tell you that we are looking at other ways of doing this. The difference is that we don't want corporates to own this. We want everybody who buys into it to have a share. That's unique. So it's owned by the people. So it's not owned by a corporate. All I would do, and Winkage would do, is manage this. But it would be owned by the people. And at the end of the year, those people who have used the system or the service would actually then be asked to vote on the surplus profits that were made, what they'd like to do with it. That's unique. So on this planet, you can't really say, here's a bit of forest, we want to try and protect it, or here's some whales or dolphins, we want to protect them. Because this planet only understands under the control system money. But if you say, we want to buy those whales, we want to buy the dolphins, we want to buy the forests for the people, so that they're owned, because the system understands that. But actually, we don't want to do anything with it. We just want to leave it and let the public come in and enjoy it. And that's one way. Or we could say, we want to make sure that every child in Africa has access to drinking water. Or we want to understand that in Surrey or South London or North London, that the hospital is falling apart, the nurses are leaving, we'd like something to be done about that. So we would actually say that the monies or the profits made from this, that ordinary people, ordinary meaning not politicians, would have the chance to vote on that. This is dangerous stuff, because the establishment would then say, hang on a minute, this is taking away from where we want. We'd also like to loan money at no interest. Well, because that's what the Babylonian system is, usury. Jesus overturned the tables, the moneylenders' tables, not because he objected to people lending money, but because he objected to the extortionate rates that were being charged. So we're calling it the fair exchange, and that is the system that we want to use, and we need it up by October, because the system, the establishment, needs this. If there is to be a bit of a crash, then they are going to want people having some form of barter exchange, because hungry people throw petrol bombs. And it was about 5 or 6 years ago where they did a calculation that in London, in an emergency, within 6 hours, there won't be a loaf of bread left on any supermarket shelf. So, chemtrails. I wanted just to update you on the latest point with chemtrails. Everything probably that you've read about chemtrails is true. Probably so. I'm not trying to turn that around. I'm just telling you what's happened since November. I'm grateful to everyone who sent pictures in, and because of technological problems, I've not been able to show some of these wonderful pictures, and I'm really sorry about that, but people from all over the world have been sending me their pictures of their chemtrails. Now, we're in England, so let's talk about England, although I'm happy to talk about Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Have we noticed the crisscross pattern? Right, that's new, relatively new. We've always seen the trails, but they've now been crisscrossing them. Have you noticed the crisscross pattern and the ripple effects?
Yes.
Right, well, that's being hit with HAARP. First time they've been doing it, started in November. So they're crisscrossing and then hitting with HAARP. The point about hitting with HAARP is to agitate what's in there. Now, global warming is true in the sense that there's a warming, but the official reason why it's warming is nonsense. That's part of the elite's terminology. All of the planets in our solar system are heating up. Those of us who are aware know that. This heating up is part of the process of evolution for all of the life forms, certainly those who have a consciousness on the planet. One of the ways to prevent that is to try and block out a certain frequency of light energy wave. that the star, the sun, is emitting. So there is a very new material being sprayed in the air, which is not designed to go into your lungs, it's not designed to kill us. This is designed to hold up what we could loosely call the ascension process. And the reason it's being hit by HARP is to agitate this material. It's a reflector for certain light waves coming from the sun, which are raising the Schumann resonance, or the side of it, and affecting us. And one question in Birmingham yesterday was about people saying how they felt tired, how they felt stressed. And this has been going on for some time, but it's becoming acute now. And this is actually a positive sign. What happens is that your soul, and, you know, your soul is 18 inches long, sits from your tummy button to about your chest. That's the real you. It's oval, American football shaped, or rugby football shaped. That's really what you are. That is energy. That is moving at this speed. But your physical, biological body is dragging behind, desperately trying to catch up with your intent of your soul. It is the physical body that is showing the stresses and the strains, because the planet, Mother Earth, is moving us forward through all the interactions that are going on. And we are not disjointed, but our biological self is not sometimes in step with our energy self. And then when you sometimes feel better, it's because you've caught up. So it's jump ahead, catch up, jump ahead, catch up. That's why it's not seamless movement. Because if it was a seamless movement, the physical body would be behind the energy body all the time, and we would become desperately unwell. That's why, quite correctly, we are being hit with bursts of energy. Then there's a gap. Then there's another wave that comes in. It's this, there you go, catch up. There you go, catch up. Has to be like that. So this is what's happening. It won't stop the process, ladies and gentlemen, but it's going to slow it up a little bit. That's what they're trying to do, buy more time. And talking about buying more time, I mentioned stretching time. One of the ways that the elite are attempting to buy more time is to stretch time. But this is very odd, because many of us find that we have less time to do what we did 5 years ago. So we are all feeling, I don't understand this, I'm sure I used to get more jobs done, yet I seem to be running out of time. Now, what the establishment tell you is, well, look, you know, that's just a busy life. You've got all this busy new life. That's nothing. That's not the truth. We are definitely struggling to obtain the same output with the resource we've got. So if you take, an elastic band, or call a rubber band, and you put it next to a ruler, and you calibrated the ruler, I don't do centimetres, so 1 to 12, and then you stretch it, the calibrations haven't changed. The number hasn't changed. The material in the rubber band is the same. But what you've done is you've stretched it. Now, a concept of time, of course, is fake. But what the elite are doing is stretching their manoeuvring capabilities. Simply because they have some plans. They do have plans. But they haven't seen the option or the opportunity to bring those plans out. So you imagine you're driving on a motorway, and you're looking for an exit sign on the motorway, junction 7. And you're running out of time. You've reached 11 on your calibrated piece of rubber, but there's no exit off. So what they're doing is stretching time, hoping that round the next corner, when the car goes round, they'll see the exit off the junction terminal. This is the hope. They have plans to put in place, but they can't do it until they see that junction, until they know their time is right. But like the drawing here, or the picture here, there's only so far you can extend physical material. And that's now at the maximum. So they can't now do anything more. And I did tell my radio show once, if we don't have some form of economic difficulty in October, I personally will be very worried, because it means that the elite have found a method to extend time beyond the capability that I think they have the technology for at the moment. So if we don't have some form of economic difficulty by October, they've found a way out of it, which is not good. Why is that not good? Simply because humanity needs to go through a process where we are challenged. Do one or two case studies. I have to be careful with this. Does anybody want a break for a couple of minutes?
No.
You're all right. You sure? Okay. I'm known as a person that goes around and does talks, does a radio show, but people don't really know other things that I do, and I want to share a little bit with you. I, like most of you, we're lucky enough to have a job. I did have a day job. You know, I, for a number of years, was a driving instructor, what the Americans call a driving teacher. And I really enjoyed that because I was so impressed with young people who, when I would tell them to do something, they'd say, why? Instead of, you know, taking it as an affront and saying, because I say so, which a person of my generation might be expected to say, I would say, well, this is the reasons why I want you to do it. This is the research. And when I was a young child, you couldn't do that. That wasn't the culture. So I'm so impressed with young people who don't take the BS anymore. You know. And I've done other jobs as well, but I had to leave those jobs because I had to be true to myself. I had to do this. I could never have retired and thought, what would have happened if I'd done this? So I had to do this. And I want to give you some case studies of the sort of work I do that I don't share normally. So there's going to be no names, and you won't be able to identify the people. But I want to give you an idea, not because I'm trying to scare anybody. That's not what this is about. I want to tell you the level of deception that goes on, and to be aware that sometimes even ourselves can be caught out. Some of it's spoken about, but I think you'll find it interesting. If you have an elite family and you are approached by an organisation, then you obviously want to be part of that organisation because you're keen on it. But in my grandfather's case, he came from a family of five, and his father was working class aspirational. So we don't talk about it anymore, do we? I'll say white working class. But that's what it was back in 1895. His father was a piano tuner, and every pub in 1895 in Lancashire had a piano. So it was a constant work, but he was working class and had five children. Something happened to my grandfather because he was told, like all of the kids back then, you left school at 14 back in then, and he was told you can either work in the cotton mills or you can work in the mine digging coal. And he didn't. He went to night school. And what happens is that if the elite check a bloodline on you, they will come to you and make something of you. In the case I want to give you, a young woman who came to me, and I thought that she'd self-referred. I now know that she'd come from the Rothschilds. And I did say that had I known that the Rothschilds had sent her, I would have charged them a huge amount of money. I really would have done. But I thought she'd self-referred. She came from a background where her father had bloodline connections to the Third Reich, although he wasn't a Nazi, but he had the connections through. And when he was younger, somebody had approached him and said, would you like us to make you very rich and powerful? To which he said, yes. Now, you always approach a man, by the way, because women bring life onto the planet. Women don't sell life. Men don't understand the creation of life. Men will be easily corrupted more than a woman. That's why they always approach a man. So they said to the man, that's great, we'll do that, but you have to show your allegiance to us. We want to buy your children from you. We will buy your children for 1 million... I won't say the currency, because that will give it away. It's not this country. We'll buy the children for 1 million, which 25 years ago was a lot more than 1 million is now. And the individual agreed. So he sold his children, boy and a girl. When he saw what was going on, give him credit, he bought them back. You can do that. Those of you who know, you can buy yourself out of Freemasonry. My grandfather bought himself out of Freemasonry. Because all about money, see. So he bought them back. But within 2 weeks of him buying them back, he lost his position. He was a governor of a city. So that's very powerful. We don't have them in this country. We have mayors. But he was a governor of a city and he was removed from office as a penalty. He was also the owner of a football club. He was removed from office there. But his business concerns weren't touched because he was useful to them. He could launder money. So they kept him on that. The Illuminati system is a patriarchal system. It's a male-dominated system, and the male son always follows in the wake of the father. Whatever job that is, the boy will do that. If that doesn't happen, it cannot be given to an outsider if there's a daughter. Now, in this particular case, the boy was so badly damaged from the torture that he was incapable of holding a job. So he couldn't do it, which left them with the daughter. This is the young woman that approached me, and I thought was self-referring. It took me 5 months to get her okay. And I'm going to wheel through what she had. She had 5 alternate personalities. Okay, doctors tend to call people the old thing of schizophrenia or bipolar. And there are indeed medical conditions like that. But for many people who have suffered trauma, I'm not going to go into detail because that's not what this is about, but it is actually normal in the human condition to create an alternate personality. And for every 12 people who come to me and have alternate personalities, maybe 10 of them have an alternate personality that has been created but not taken to stage 2. Stage 2 is when you then give that personality a role. And that's all part of the mind control business. So she had 6 personalities that they will have names and they will have roles. And what I did over the period of time was to get her core soul to reintegrate these personalities. She also had a suicide program. Now, the youngest person that I've ever deprogrammed was 16. And obviously, her mother was present, because I don't work with minors unless parents or guardians are present. So the youngest I've worked with was 16. The oldest was 60. The 60-year-old person had the yellow brick road programming. You know, I could deprogram that with my eyes closed. But the 16-year-old had a most advanced program from a professional point of view. And I'm not a doctor, I'm not a counsellor, none of that. Because they don't teach this. The system doesn't want people like me deprogramming people, because that's not what they want. But when I look at the difference between the program of the 60-year-old and the program of the 16-year-old, there are now booby traps in the 16-year-old for people like me. Because back then, with the Yellow Brick Road programming, they never considered there would be anybody who could go in and deprogram. But by the time of this particular young girl, who's not the one I'm talking about with the case study, this is another one, they had realised that there were people out there, and not the only one, but many people who have my skills at all, and I quite understand, too terrified to do it, could get in there and do the work. So there were not only booby traps for the person, but booby traps for me. And in this case, this woman, back to the case study, had a self-destruct program or a suicide program. And many people in Hollywood have that, and many people who appear to take their own lives do indeed take their own lives, but that has been placed into them. She also had visits from a reptilian entity, and she also had a demonic possession. During satanic ritual, it is standard to place a demonic entity into a female. God bless her. She was only 5'4", and it's not widely understood that you can be small but still contain a complete reptilian soul in your body. And she had not just a royal reptilian soul, but she had one of the original queens. One of the original queens in the body. And she used to say to me, said, how can this small body contain such a big thing? And I said, well, draw what you look like. And it looked like a stegosaurus. Literally 4 legs. The original queen. And I talked about Ender's Game, the film Ender's Game. And if you look at the very end of that, the hero escapes to save the egg of the original queen. Again, here are films that bring things forward. This young woman now works for the Rothschilds. She actually works for them. And people will say to me, Simon, what on earth are you doing? Why are you helping the enemy? And my answer is this, that nobody as a child asks to be tortured or hurt. And if a person comes to me and they are genuine, I will not turn them away. I will work with them. Even what they do is their own free will. But that woman now can hold a job. She couldn't hold a job before. And that's, I'm going to give you two case studies, but I'll just do that one. That's the sort of stuff that they do. That's not what's understood or worked on. The number of people who have this type of mind effect is staggering. And it's not just the elite that we would assume. There are ordinary people with ordinary jobs who have a bloodline but don't know they have a bloodline, and they also have this effect. So that's what they do. For people who are on benefits, I don't charge. I do it for free. Because I always assume that people who have got lots of money, they can pay me, and their money they pay me then pays for me to work with others who don't have that money. Likewise, I give my information out regularly for free. I don't charge. There are a number of organisations, individuals, not going to mention any names, who you can get the first three or four paragraphs for free, and if you want the rest, you've got to pay for it. I'm speaking personally now. I don't believe that information should be charged for, because what you're saying is, well, you can afford to pay for the information, so you can have it. You can't afford to pay for it, so you can't have it. How is that any different from the elite? If you want good medical care, you pay for it. If you don't want good medical care, tough. You can just die in the gutter. So I've always survived on donations. I don't charge my information. And if people want to support me and what the work I do, they will donate. If they don't donate, and I'll go back and do the day job, and I won't do this. Because we're on a 3D planet, and unless we have enough money to pay the bills, we can't survive. I put this one up because I think it's great. Because there's a reptilian, Captain Kirk, the original Star Trek. But I love it because, although we may see the reptilian guy making that dagger, it is the sacrificial onyx knife of the Aztecs. Okay, so when they would sacrifice, they would use the onyx knife, the onyx blade, and that is a replica of what it would look like. Okay, so I think we've just covered some questions. I just want to say this. I won't give my opinion in regard to other people within the truth movement. Please make up your own minds. I'm aware that there is a court case pending now between Corey Good, Bill Ryan, and the dark journalist. So I'm not going to become involved in that. Okay, I'm not going to get involved, so I won't take any questions on anything like that. But other than that, I'm quite happy to take any questions.
Thank you.
I'm not sure how much time we've got left.
Actually, I want to just say something that might be interesting to you.
Please.
I was audited several years ago, and they thought they had me, you know, but I do keep all my receipts, even though I didn't figure it out ahead of time, but you know what I mean, I'm very good like that. So what happens is they brought me into the IRS, I had my accountant with me, we sat and had a meeting, and she asked me two questions. She said, do you keep money, cash in your house? And I'm thinking to myself, what business is it of theirs? And so I said to her, no, but I do. I lied to her face, and I am not a liar. Number two, she said, do you barter? And I said, no, which happened to be true, because there's no bartering to be had, really, at the moment. And not in my life at the moment. And so those were the two main questions. IRS, about, I don't know, maybe four or five years ago. So that what occurred to me is those are the two most important things that they're focused on. So now you want to do barter. I'm just saying how they're thinking about this.
Just quickly, before I go to the questions, I mean, that's great, Kerry. There's been a system in India where you would have seen last year that they withdrew a certain number of notes, banknotes. That was from the old Obama administration. The old Obama administration forced the Indian Prime Minister to withdraw certain banknotes. It was a test to see how a large population could cope with no cash. The object, ladies and gentlemen, is to, from this particular group of elite, is to remove cash from society, totally. So that they know exactly what you're buying, when you're buying it, but more importantly, they can control that. So let's say, for instance, you go on a demonstration, and I will talk, I don't usually talk about my family, but I'll talk, because it was public, I will just talk quickly. You go on a demonstration, they can just turn your card off. They can prevent you from having access to anything. If you've got cash in the house, they can't stop you because you can go to the shops and you can survive until your money runs out. So there is a strong move amongst the elite. The same people actually who produced Agenda 21 to remove cash. That's what they want to do, so they control people. Now, I will talk about a member of my family. I won't say which one it is. A member of my family, and it is on YouTube, worked for a lot of their life in charity organisations in London. And this person is very keen on the rights of individuals and went on a demonstration in London. The organisers put the number who turned out at about 250,000. The police put the number at about 150,000. It doesn't matter which figure's right. This person was on the march with a huge number of people. On the BBC News and the ITV News, they did a 10 or 15 second clip of the demonstration. And all they showed was my family member walking along with a placard out of a figure of either 150,000 or 250,000. 3 days later, this member of the family is called in and told that the job doesn't exist anymore. Okay? And it works out that I don't think it was George Soros, but one of a similar line was a board member of the organisation that this member of my family worked for. And the demonstration was something along the lines of how can 1% of the world own 90% of the resources? It was along those lines. So what's staggering here is that certain people are watched to the extent they could pull this person out of a demonstration of nearly a quarter of a million people and stick them on television. So that's how the control system is. And if we lose the right to cash, it would be the same way as the Americans losing the right to carry arms. Because then you've only got your card, and that can be switched off. So we know we'll have problems, but it's a way we've got to go through. Hi.
In following on from what you just said, are you aware of the bill that's going through at the moment? 1206, I think it is?
Yes. The thing is that until, with the change in the government, when there will be a change, I'm not sure whether things are going to become law or not. So
it's rather chilling when you read that particular document.
Yes.
What you said about two all those years ago is actually being put through American government.
Yeah.
Trying to push it through as it stands now.
Yes.
Which gives them swinging rights over your ability to be able to trade.
Yes.
Not using their system.
Yes. Yes. We've got a situation at the moment where the NSA created Bitcoin. And of course the NSA created Bitcoin because it has the most powerful computers on the planet. But the banks have turned against Bitcoin because it's the trade of drug dealers and arms dealers. It's the method they use. So what was going to be a divided world between the Chinese using their own system and the Americans using their own system, this is under the old regime, of course, Obama and the Clintons. I have a system now where they want to try and make people totally dependent. They're trying to make people dependent on welfare, dependent on the services of the system. You know, you can't take your child to creche or preschool unless they've had all their inoculations, etc., etc., etc. This was another method. But I'm not sure now because of Trump. I'm not sure. And there are a number of bills that are going to be passed in the states which will not be enacted. Let's see what happens in October. If there is a method attempt to kill him, then we'll see how that goes. I have another question, please.
Just a couple of things. With regards to the Donald Trump clips you were showing from the cartoon,
yeah.
On the escalator, you see someone filming it with a smartphone,
yeah.
And that was in the cartoon as well. But that was before smartphones were invented.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the technology of cameras and videos, so someone drew a character holding a phone filming something which wasn't around that.
There's also one in, I think, 1995. Where I think it's Mr. Burns has got a watch, and when he presses the button, then it's actually a camera phone as well. But then remember Star Trek with the flip phones back in 1966, 67. Yeah, that's a good point.
So just also, well, the last few years I've been anticipating attacks on London because I've seen so many films when accidents happen, Star Trek being one of them. There's a lot of science fiction action films. And of course now we're seeing that. But so with predictive programming, it's interesting you mentioned Tower Inferno last night. What sort of, how can we sort of tell when these things may happen? What sort of numbers or numerology will we be looking at?
Right. We're not given all the numbers of numerology. There have been a couple of people who have attempted to predict ahead and classically got some right and got some wrong. The sad thing is there's one particular character who got it wrong and then went to ground because a lot of people turned on him. But the information he'd been giving before that was actually quite accurate. They will never give the correct sequence or numbers because they don't have to. What they have to do is to give visual images of what's happening. If I hear of anything like that, I will always go live. And if you look on my website, I've got some of the cities right that were being attacked. I've got the dates right. I also said after the attack in Germany that there were more attacks coming. We need to be aware of it, although everyone was saying, no, it won't happen. But I will promise to give that information if I have it. And what I've said is that I get two sorts. I get something from the intelligence service, the good people. And let's not forget, the vast majority of people in the intelligence services in this country anyway are damn good people. But I also get off-planet stuff. So if I get two independent sources telling me the same thing, that's when I go public. I don't go public with just one thing, because it needs to be corroborated. In terms of yourselves, you need to do your own research. So whenever you see anything, watch as much YouTube video as you can, because there will be stuff that's coming from officialdom that's released as if it was a genuine thing. Have a look at that and debate and talk, but don't please get mixed up in some of the nonsense that's taking place on Facebook and some of the other organisations. And there's other people like me who will be genuine and honest and try and tell you. But ultimately, that's not to give up your power. You are responsible for discerning what you think is the truth. Hi.
Can you tell us something about what you know, what's happening in Antarctica?
Okay. I stopped talking about Antarctica only because I was thinking that people were getting bored with it. You're aware of the large disc-shaped city. Well, imagine a very long time ago, a very large spacecraft making a forced landing in Antarctica. Yes, it would do, because there was a beacon place there. And like good old Star Wars film, you cannibalise the inside of your craft and you start to build on the outside, but you have the power pack which provides you the energy. That is what you're seeing in terms of the circle under the ice. The old administration, we had a number of people, including a very famous astronaut, go to Antarctica. He made a very famous tweet. The Pope, of course, went there very recently. These are the people who make the decisions on this planet, apparently. And the technology they were seeing was being overseen by something else. And the deal that had been struck with the previous administration now is not in place. The Pope is still there. The system of the Pope is still there. Please don't misunderstand the position of the Pope as an arbiter. But we have a change in American government, but not necessarily a change in the ethos of where they wish to go. President Trump wants America great again. That's all laudable and good. But his advisors have told him that between 10 and 12 years to make America back to the position that it wants to be. But if they utilize advanced technologies, can do it in 3 years. Some of the technologies coming out of Antarctica are ancient, but they are more advanced than anything the Americas have at the moment. So if you take the advanced ancient technologies, you can then release some of the other material. There are two United States contractors who, since March of this year, have been recruiting very gifted people to go to Antarctica to start to take apart this material and bring it back. Putin has agreed that the material can go to America first, providing portions of it are shared with him. He's not going to fight over it. And that's really important. He would never have got any other previous Russian leader to agree to that. The difficulty for Trump is that if there is a crash in the stock market in October, it does not leave enough time for this to feed through. So you have a broadly negative group, there's more than one group, but a broadly negative group holed up in Antarctica, who for a very long time have played the game of isolation, but have decided that as we are on end game, they now wish to come forward. The war between Atlantis and Lumeria was real. It's not the only war. But there were a group of survivors from both of those civilizations who realized, incorrectly actually, but they came to the conclusion that humanity couldn't be trusted, as the first group, and that they themselves couldn't be trusted. So they took themselves off to join other groups in what we call the Hollow Earth or Agartha, like a monastery. We will keep ourselves separate from humanity. And I'll use the word, they hated humanity. They'd given up with humanity and they'd given up with themselves. It took thousands of years for that healing to take place, for those groups to say, we owe an allegiance to humanity. We need to come out and become involved again. That is what you're seeing. You're seeing groups of individuals from what we call the Hollow Earth who have now decided that they are not going to sit on the fence. For good or ill, they're going to come out and have an influence again. And for those of you who have Atlantean connections, or Lumerian connections, I am myself Lumerian, I'm not Atlantean. That's the political side, not the crystal side. To actually do the self-healing, to say that it's a coward's way out to sit in a hole in the ground. That's what Adolf Hitler did. You know, that's what you do, isn't it? You hide in a bunker until someone else sorts it all out. Well, no, you need to come out and get your hands dirty. So there we are with that one. One more question.
No, I'm just stretching.
I have a piece to your Greenfield puzzle, by the way. Maybe you've seen this already. It's very obvious. On the day, I was intuitively given this. Basically, if you look on the map and if possible to bring on your laptop, the aerial view and see exactly where the tower is in relation to the estate. To me, it looked like a helmet of a warrior, for example. And the tower is exactly in the third eye kind of position. Now, I show this to an intuitive teacher that I'm in contact with, and she linked it to a crop circle that happened in May on the 22nd. And I don't know if you know anything about that.
Yeah, I do. I'm familiar, and you know that because I've said to you in relation to the surrounding area, sort of cutting on your conversation. But I haven't done it, and I didn't take a picture of that simply because this isn't another topic to gleefully talk about. And I just wanted to cover it as I did. I will answer your question. Most crop circles occurring now are negative. Most crop circles are negative. So if we're seeing an imagery that is matching something like that, that is not a warning, that is an exaltation. It's them doing just what negative Illuminati do. The whole point about crop circles was a communication, twofold, one with certain scientists in Britain, predominantly Britain, but also in America, and also individuals of a very special nature. And the crop circle would be produced. Certain people then would decode that crop circle and then would reply. Not by crop circles. Okay, not by crop circles. They would reply and then they would pose questions and then the crop circle would come down answering those questions. I have had the very great displeasure of meeting a father and a son whose job was to create crop circles. And they actually take the name Team Satan. I've met them. And I suppose anyone else is standing up here, you might just sort of shake your head, but because I've got some small credibility behind me, what I'm going to tell you, I hope will alert you to this. The son came to me because he said he wanted the demonic possession removed from him. And when dealing with Americans, I say to them, imagine the Grand Canyon. You're on one side, I'm on the other. Let's create a bridge. If you can come 51% across that bridge, then you actually want to be healed. But if you can't bring yourself to come 51% across, then you don't want to be healed. Now, he didn't want to come 50% across. And he told me, so this isn't on the internet, this isn't third hand, this is what he told me in a Skype session. He said that they waited 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, his father and himself and a couple of others, for the shadow men to appear. These are dark entities, these are the shadow beings, who would appear, and then they would move around the corn, energetically marking it out, and then this team, Satan, would then go and make the crop circle. Now the object of this is that if you are Lumerian, Atlantean, in terms of our souls on this planet, if you are Lyran soul, Palladian soul, you're fifth dimensional, Lyrans are sixth dimensional, but if you're a Palladian, or you're a Arcturian or Andromedean, and you go into such a crop circle, you touch the corn, your DNA is damaged. The whole point about this is to attack fifth dimensional people. So naturally you want to, you know, experience and you want to learn, and you, if you go into a genuine crop circle within a week of it being created, you will get an upload. When you touch that corn, you get a zip to take you to the next level. That's what happens. But there are these negative forces that are creating fake crop circles to damage people who are trying to ascend. So now that's just off the side there. Sorry, we're running out of time, aren't we? Two more minutes. Guy there.
Yeah, how did Brexit play into the scheme of things? Is that a good thing, or was that expected or forcefully?
That's a really good question. Simply because it was planned at the highest level, but everyone in government didn't know about it. And I'm going to give you some proof of that. You might have to go back onto to Google or what have you to look at it. Before Brexit, you couldn't put the television on without seeing queues of refugees marching from one country into another country. The elite who control the BBC and the ITV pushed it, hammered it. Migrants, refugees, not going to have any housing, not going to have any jobs. And that played to the fears of a large group of people. So the people who manipulate at the highest level wanted Britain out of Europe. But, and I'm talking literally the top five or six people. All the other elite wanted us to stay in Europe because it's part of the New World Order. It's part of the One World Government. I voted to leave Europe, I did so, and I remember going up to one of the guys running a Britexit stall, and he said, "Are you going to be voting?" And I said, "Yes, I'm going to vote to leave." And he said, "Well, if you don't mind me asking you why." And I said, "Because I know it's the part of the One World Government." And he said, "My goodness," he said, "you know," he said, "we've had to be talking about immigration and this, that and the other, because that's all the majority of the public understand." But he said, "That's the real reason." This was a top guy from UKIP. He said, "Yeah," he said, "we know that one of the ways of creating a one world government is to literally have that." So I voted Brexit, not because I'm a racist, but because I knew that the one world government was using the European system to control it. And Juncker actually said about 4 months ago that the European concept was the greatest civilization or the civilizing project ever on the planet. Simply because they don't see it as a system to share the wealth. They see it as a system to create one world government. So the people at the very top decided they wanted Britain out, but everybody else in the elite thought they were. That's why there's so much confusion, because they had been given this brief: we will stay in Europe, Europe's important, it's the one world government, etc. And then suddenly the top guys pull the plug on them. That's why you saw such a confusion. Now, how is it going to work? It's actually going to be better for Britain to be out. And that's why we never took the euro. We had Conservative government and Labour government, but we never had the euro, because we were never really part of Europe. one more question and I'm going to have to call it a day. I'm going to take somebody at the back. I'm sorry, it's just that they're at the back there. Come on.
Hi, Simon. It's an etheric question. When you die and you pass over, does your soul and your mind separate? Does your mind go into the Akashic Records and the soul merge with Source? And when mediums tune in, are they tuning into merely the Akashic Records as opposed to the actual soul itself?
Congratulations on the hardest question anyone's ever asked me. Right? Tis, right, but you want an answer and you know that you won't be disappointed. I've never seen a ghost, but I know they exist. When a medium, most mediums will connect with a spirit that's not passed on. Not all of them, but most of them will connect with a spirit that has not passed on. There may be a reason why somebody is so drawn to a place. It might be that you have a connection with another individual. It's so strong. It may be, don't laugh, ladies and gentlemen, it may be a piece of furniture that you are so connected to. It may be a house. It may be a location. It may be that you just cannot let go. Now, those spirits are not, could we call them in torment? They may be in torment because they've not decided. Now, those can be connected with. So that's on that level, but your question is deeper than that. When the physical body dies, the soul will attempt to return to Source. That's what we always attempt to do, because that's where we were created. However, if we are a little bit more with it, and during the waking time on this planet, we are trying to educate ourselves that we might either want to go to Source or back to the soul family that we first chose when we were created. We are then faced with a system that tries to prevent us and recycle us back. Your conscious mind is nothing more than the memory of your soul as it translates into your DNA. It's not the same as the Akashic. The Akashic will hold a record of all individual living creatures unless that creature has the right and the authority to have it removed from the Akashic. If you are a being of limited power, you can remove certain things that have happened to you from the Akashic. So, for instance, if you didn't want the Akashic to know where you were for 10 years of your life, and you had both the right and the authority to do that, the Akashic will not show them. But there are some beings that have the right to remove their whole existence from the Akashic, because they are connected to Source. That's where the Akashic is coming from. They're connected to Source and they are working with Source to provide an exit plan, and that it's deemed that if they are open and seen, all of the work they do isn't going to come to fruition. So I'm not going to debate the rights and wrongs of that. That's just what I understand. So basically, when your physical body dies, you may come recycled. That is why you may or may not have past life memories, because what's happening is you come into a different body with a different brain, different genetics, and yet you might have a past life memory. It might not be very long, it might be a small bit. That's going to come from your soul. What your soul does is it imprints your DNA, because DNA is a memory. Just like water holds information, DNA holds information. But because of the wiping process, very few of us have very strong memories of who we once were. You know, not everybody who says they were Napoleon Bonaparte is lying. Okay, and remember, there can be more Eves or Adams on the planet in terms of the soul fragments. The Christian or Christos energy did go across the planet, and there are a number of people who can maintain that. But there aren't very many who could claim to be Mary Magdalene or what have you. But the soul will come through. And it is that's who you really are. And so when you understand that and you have no fear of physical death, then these people stop trying to kill you. Because if you go on television and you burst into tears because you've had a death threat, then every hitman knows you can be manipulated, because you've shown fear. The only time I get emotional is when I talk about children that are murdered and abused. That's the only thing that actually bothers me. That's what really upsets me. But in terms of what I do, I don't give a damn. If I'm killed, I know I'll come back. I will come back. So I don't have the fear of death. And that's the one thing the Bible got right, that the soul exists in the body. And, you know, that's why we should realise that we're very special. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for your patience.